Radio.com.
Grace Rio Silver was founded in 1997. Our goal today remains the same as it was back then, to provide you, our customer, with a quality buckle. Call today and visit with one of our family design experts about your next trophy buckle. From 1 to 100, each is individually made by hand, one at a time. Remember, at Trace Rios, our only limit is your imagination. Trace Rio Silver, Llano, Texas. 800-550-7535. Or you can find us on the web at TraceRioSilver.com. Proud to be a part of She's Gone Country with Becky.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Discover the mysteries of cosmetic dentistry. For all the insider tips and wellness solutions, tune in to Get Your Smile On with Dr. Joel Gould, Wednesdays at 7 p.m.
She's Gone Country with Becky is proud to have as our charity team Western Wishes, making the dreams of seriously ill children and young adults who love the Western way of life to come true. Western Wishes, leaving the legacy of goodwill the cowboy way. Find out more at westernwishes.org.
This is 4 Radio, a media platform used to elevate voices and empower dreams.
All right, rodeo fans, it's time for She's Gone Country with the CB Cowgirl. Introducing your host, Becky Christensen, and co-host, Becky Christensen O'Shield. Hey, let's ride.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to our final show here at Roper Cowboy Marketplace. It looks like we are pretty packed today, so if anyone is walking the miles and needs to take a load off, coming over to the stage, we have some great guests for you. We've had great guests all week. This is my co-host, Becky Christensen O'Shields.
Thank you, Becky. You know, we have been so blessed with some great guests, a lot of past rodeo cowboys and cowgirls, and a lot of the present, too. So, I mean, it's been just like a total bridge over the generations. So we are happy. It's our last day. Can I say we're going to miss Vegas? Well,
maybe for a little while.
For a little while, until that Southwest jet landing in Austin about 10 o'clock tonight, and then I'll be, oh, boy, I'm home.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then there's me loaded up and trucking and heading north to the Great Northwest. I am really excited and honored. We were fortunate enough that Aunt Vicky's brother and my dad was able to join us over the weekend for the Cowboy Reunion. So Bobby Christensen Jr. is in the audience. Thank
you,
Dad. I'm so glad you're here.
We are so happy he's here. It's great to see him.
Well, and that just leads me to talk about, we were able to go and be able to cover actually it was yesterday afternoon, the Cowboy Reunion for the Gold Car Reunion. It was a world gathering of rodeo.
Right, right. And that took place at the Palms Hotel, and it was absolutely a great success. There were so many. I would like to know how many gold buckles were in the audience yesterday.
That spanned from, in the 30s all the way to, well, I would say maybe the 50s all the way.
Right, right. In fact, you know, they had that gold card contest, and I don't recall who had the lowest number of gold card, but
it was 20, I think, 23.
Oh, I don't remember. But anyway, I'm sure maybe one of our guests would. And speaking of our guests, Becky, first of all, you know it's your last day in Vegas when you have your show notes wrote on the back of a receipt. And no, this is not from the lobby bar, I don't think.
Well, and for those of you that don't know who we are, She's Gone Country, the CB Cowgirls, airs Monday night. We're internet radio, and we're Monday night at 6 on Blog Talk Radio. But you can always go to our website, shesgonecountry.us, hit the media link, and we have all of our archive shows there for your listening pleasure. We garner the interviews all across the Western world, and it's all about keeping the spirit of the American cowboy and cowgirl alive. It was the heritage and the way I grew up, the way Vicky grew up. And it's just close to our heart. And we want to bring that to the forefront, you know, encourage people to return to the roots wherever they're from, because we really need to go back to those principles that made us so great. And so our guests are all representative of that. And we've, like I said, we've had a great lineup. And today we're wrapping it up with two more great, great stars and well-knowns in the rodeo community that you guys will know. I'm going to bring to the stage first. He is well-known through the voice of rodeo and behind the mic at those rodeos that you attend all over the United States. He's the founder of Bob Feist Invitational, and that's Mr. Bob Feist himself. Bob, please welcome to the stage.
Welcome, Bob. And sitting alongside Bob today, we are just so honored to have one terrific lady. She is an icon in the rodeo world, former Miss Rodeo Texas, former Miss Rodeo America, and a WPRA finalist. Her list of achievements goes on and on, but she is such a special lady because she just reflects everything that we hold dear about the Western way of life. Debbie Garrison, please step up.
And we have, last but not least, if you're wondering where this cowboy hat come from here, this belongs to, I just really want to touch real quick on our sponsors. We have great sponsors that support us, American Hats, Trace Rios Silver, which our guest co-host that has filled in for Donalyn Quintana this week, who's got many, many years in the event management arena, and I met him through Pro Rough Stock Series, Vicki and I did, and that is Mr. Kevin Contardo, and he just arrived, so I'm going to pull him up, and he'll show you the wonderful Trace Rios hat that he's wearing.
You better
put
that
give
straw
him his
hat on your head.
Hat.
Keith times two from American Hat. They're looking at you. You know that, Kevin.
Made you look.
When you show up late, they cut your mic and everything. But no, this is what in racing they call the hat dance. So I'll do this and, you know.
There you go.
Swap out. But I was looking for Joe Frost, and I couldn't find him this morning, so that's why I'm late. That's
yeah,
my
we were hoping to have Joe Frost on, but I know that those cowboys, they are booked to the hilt. And that's something we're going to talk about. I want to just first start, before we go into the many great things that you both have contributed to the Western world, let's touch on the finals and these cowboys and cowgirls that are just, it's so different than back when I was growing up, and I'm sure when you first got started in the business, for these cowboys that have made it to NFR and their amount of time they're busy with sponsors.
I think it's wonderful because we have a lot of the old veterans who are still out there plugging, and then we have a wonderful group of rookie contestants too, you know, and women barrel racers. So that's been kind of fun seeing the older contestants still coming back and mixing it up with the young guns.
Really? And I mean, I go back with the Christian Brothers to way back. I mean, I used to announce on a dinosaur, do some of their rodeos. It was cool.
I've seen pictures of that. Bobby would remember.
Yeah. Oh, I got to tell you a good story on him, what he did one time. Yeah. He likes this story because I had an airplane. Several of us were flying from rodeo to rodeo. And one time I went up to a rodeo to compete at, and I had Gary Hempstead with me, and we were coming in there. Gary was riding barebacks, and I was roping. We land. Well, Bobby thinks that he has messed up and hired two announcers for this rodeo, and he comes over, and he's just having a fit. He says, did I hire you for this? And I decided to just go on with it. Yeah, you did at the finals. Oh, man. I'll pay you. I got two announcers, but that's all right. No, I'm here to rope. We're all right. So.
Oh, wow. Great story.
Well, and so going back to this great event that we have here in the WNFR, you know, we've had some really close races going on, and I know you guys follow it pretty closely.
Yeah.
Share with us, you know, in your own opinion, what have been the tightest races this year, in what events?
Well, the money has made a lot of difference in all the events, and our thanks to the sponsors and to the PRCA for working very much with the Las Vegas events to get this money up. It's made a lot of difference. I think in our timed events, we've really seen the people settle down, and the roping, like in the team roping, has never been better here. The tie-down roping and all of them, they're taking their time. They're making perfection runs because when you're paying $67,000 if you win the average, if you win a go-round, it's fine. If you got the proper draw to do that, you're going ahead and taking advantage of that go-round, and you're talking $26,000, $27,000. The races are going to be changed around here because of this big money. And one of the prime examples is JoJo LeMond and Junior Nogueira is just awesome. And the story of how they came in. And Debbie and I are good friends with Jake Barnes, so we're glad to see this happen. Jake got injured, for you folks that don't know, just prior to the finals. JoJo was the number 16th man, so that moved him up in there to rope with Junior, who he had never roped with before. He had had his horse turned out. Didn't even think he was going to rope anymore for the year, and comes here, and as it stands of last night, they are the projected winners of the World Championships
That's awesome.
The finals here. There's only three teams that have nine caught right now.
That's exactly right. You know, can you imagine JoJo sitting at home? He's already got his horse turned out, watching him out there graze. He's probably popping his popcorn to be able to sit on the couch, you know, and not have to, you know, fight the crowds at Vegas, you know, to buy a bag of popcorn, and he's doing that, and then all of a sudden the phone rings.
Yeah.
I mean, there you go.
You're in.
And then you think someone is really pulling your leg,
mm-hmm.
you know, saying, you know, you are in 16th place. It's not like Junior can just go handpick somebody to come rope with. It's the next person in line who had the most money won after 15th, and that was JoJo.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you talk about panic mode. I mean, for me, it'd be, oh, gosh, I got to start packing my clothes, you know.
Not for JoJo. We got to tell you the story about JoJo. I announced the timed event championship every year. The top 20 in the world come there. JoJo is always there. But the stories we love, he's the smallest guy there, so he's the hero. Everybody, the crowd favorite.
He just looks a little, he's just a little wormy looking, but he'll
be
all right.
He's a little wormy. But here's a wormy guy that, you know, in 30-some years at that time when he first started competing, had been hit by lightning, bit by a rattlesnake, and had a stroke. Now, this guy, you know, he's got six lives left. And then he comes in here, and maybe he's going to win a world championship on a wild card.
I think he figures he's got nothing to lose.
Well, first thing I wonder is he related to John Payne getting hit by lightning. I mean, my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, I'm certain, knowing Jake, you know, and, of course, everyone wishes Jake a very speedy and full recovery, and a lot of prayers going out to him. But I mean, there would be no one more happy to see the two of them win the world than Jake Barnes.
You're right.
Absolutely.
And Jake has been kind of a surrogate father. Junior came here from South America, came over, and Adriano Moraes is the one that kind of introduced Junior to Jake. He kept telling him, I got a kid down there that can really rope. I'd like to bring him over here, but he needs somebody to kind of chaperone him, take care of him. Jake has done a phenomenal job, taught him how to travel, how to win, how to go here in the big league. And, yeah, Jake couldn't be prouder, I'm sure.
I'm sure Adriano is like going, okay, Junior, I'm getting a percentage of this.
And next year we're going to see more than one in the team roping from South America.
These Brazilians are killing us. It used to be just the bull riding, and now here they are in the team roping and the tie-down.
Tie-down.
Yeah, Marcus is doing really good in the
really
tie-down.
Good.
Wow. Well, Debbie, tell us about the ladies' event. What's going on in the barrel race?
It's a really, really fun barrel race this year. I don't know if people have been watching it at home, or especially if you're in the arena and you see the girls. They're coming down that alleyway harder and faster than the first barrel that I have seen in a long time. And we have a lot of rookies, and they have that no fear. You know, we've got young rookies, and then we've got the lady who's 60 years old, and she's here competing on a horse that I think she had to have, the one that she was competing on had to have surgery, colic surgery. So now she is riding a borrowed horse and is in there mixing it up with the girls who have been on the horses that they've competed on all year. So that's exciting. There's so many stories behind coming to the NFR. It's incredible. I wish you could go from each person and tell their story.
I sat with the owner of Why Not Branded, and she was sharing with me the story of the lady that's borrowing the borrowed horse. I don't know the names exactly, but the story behind that woman's trip to the NFR and that colicked horse, the owner of that horse has recently passed away.
Yes, it was a young girl, and it was a family friend of theirs, and she was young and had cancer, and passed away. And so her family's wish was that she would take the horse go on with the horse. No, just a neighbor there, I think, that was also competing in barrel racing. And she took the horse, and that's what qualified her to come to the NFR. And within 2 weeks of coming here, kind of like JoJo's deal, the horse got sick, and they had to do colic surgery on the horse. So in 2 weeks, she had to find a replacement to bring here. And from what I understand, the horse's surgery went well, and she's looking forward to maybe being able to compete on him again. But I hate to say the wrong name, but I think it's Vicky Carter.
You're right. It's Vicky Carter.
Yes, because I watched it on TV. Yeah. They did a little special on the WPRI news.
Right. And then, and of course, they mentioned it, too, when we were at the luncheon the other day at South Point.
Correct.
And they raised all that great money for the Justin Cowboy Crisis Fund. Vicky was one of the models. And they told the story when she was on stage. And it really pulled at your heart. I mean, oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you've got less than 2 weeks to get on a horse you've never ridden before and figure out, and this is a small pattern here at the Thomas and Mack. I mean, it's small, and that first barrel, as you can see, comes up so quick. So I think she's just done a real admirable job of coming and competing.
You mentioned about that pattern. I know when we watch that, and any horse makes a little bobble or a slip, it just costs the hundreds of seconds, and that's just about it for the round. Yeah, just one little bobble.
I was going to mention, you mentioned the no fear factor on the barrel racers. We got to watch the rebroadcast or the rerun last night. Finally, after I got back to the hotel room. And I've almost thrown barrel racing in this year with the rough stock event. So watch those ladies come down that chute, I mean, rearing up, banging into gates. I don't know how they keep that and then go out and run that tight pattern. That, to me, is fascinating when they show that behind the scenes as they're coming in. And will they ever change that? Because that looks borderline dangerous to me.
It's hard trying to switch over from that one alleyway to the other. And a lot of the women, some of their husbands or their relatives are helping them. I mean, that's you're hiring up for a pretty rough job right there trying to help get the horse down the alleyway. So I got to give, I'm sure they're working their percentage in there, too, of the winnings, too. So they'll take a banging off the back gates to be able to get a good steak dinner that night, maybe.
You know, we visited yesterday with Byron Walker. And, of course, that's Mary Walker's husband. And he's former world champion steer wrestler. Great big guy. And he is there every single time they call Mary's name. And that's what he's there. And, I mean, that has to give her a great feeling to know that, you know, he's there waiting. If there's anything that goes, he can grab that horse, you know, and wow.
Well, I think one of the fun things, too, about this whole thing, especially in the barrel racing, they really are making heroes of the horses, too. From Lisa Lockhart's horse, Louie. When they started, everybody knows Louie. And then, of course, Latte, Mary's horse, and then
Bo,
Taylor Jacobs' horse. I mean, I think that's because they're the major factor. You know, you've got your jockey that's got to get their job, but the horse has got to do their deal, too. So, to me, I think it's really fun that the horses are really becoming a real notoriety, too.
Oh, I think so, too. That really adds to it.
Well, and that's one thing I love. I was telling my dad last night, the one thing I love about team roping is and calf roping and all the timed events, watching those horses dial in on their target and those steers and those calves, because they're working just as hard as those cowboys are to do their job, to help their cowboys do their job.
Well, and, you know, Bob, tell us a little bit about, you know, for those of you that perhaps have not, you know, been able to go out to Thomas and Mack and watch the WNFR in person, share with our audience, Bob, about Thomas and Mack, the arena. I mean, it's wild.
It's a very showcased arena to watch things, but to have someone there, it's not really the ideal competitive size. And for a team roper, you got two jumps to the left, and that's it. And even Trevor the other night got in trouble because he had reached so far, roped the steer, and then one more jump, Patrick would have been in great shape, but there's not one more jump to go. You're up against that wall, and it makes it very difficult. So sometimes you don't see these guys performing to their utmost. They get criticized from the people that don't understand the competition because they think, well, these guys are supposed to be the best ropers in the world, and they're missing. Well, this arena conditions just don't quite get it to them. It's like having a basketball player shooting at 18-foot baskets all of a sudden. It's a little different deal. But they train for it at home now. They seem to the money and the average, I think, has slowed them down this year, made them go out, and it was the first three nights of team roping was excellent when almost 100% of the field is catching, and even if they're 5 seconds, they didn't get a check, but it looked good, and it was nice, and they're all capable of catching every steer. If you wanted to bet and pay these guys $100,000 if they catch all 10, they would slow down just a little more, and they're capable of doing it because they're that good. But here they're rushing the gamut, and they're going 50% luck, 50% skill. And that's too bad, but I think we've changed that with the money going in the average now. Same thing in the barrel. That's the short course here, very short. When is the decision for a girl when she's going to that barrel if she's going to try and stand it up? I mean, they almost know going into that turn that that barrel's going to go over, but to reach down and try and save that.
20-something thousand in the go-around.
It'll make you reach.
I'm going to sacrifice body parts. I don't care. If I've made it this far.
I would fall off. I can't hardly dust my knee riding anymore getting tipsy.
Yeah.
But to reach down. And
you'd find a way to get it, right?
Yeah,
I get a little stickum on my hand, you know, like the to be able to reach down and grab that barrel and put it back
Some
up.
Some of them barrels have been slow motion, though. The gal's already riding away.
There was one last night. I want to say it was Sarah Rose McDonald or somebody. That thing just looked like it was in slow motion. She was already at the
oh
end.
My gosh.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about, for me, you know, the tight race and the bareback riding. We had Stephen Peebles on here. We love Casey Field. You know that they both are battling from their heart. It's not just about the world title. It's not just about the money. They both have something very personal that I'm sure is in their mind and in the back of their mind that they really, really want the title for. And that's, of course, I'm sure Casey's got his dad on the back of his mind. Steven, he's been there, you know, he's been riding a long time and been so close for so many years, and his injuries have set him up. And they both, I mean, last night was just, for me, because I'm rooting for them both, but man, when Steven, you know, got that score last night, and you know that half that score comes from the horse. And he just he didn't have the best horse last night. And I was just really, really bummed because I don't know where that places him now, where Casey won the round and where that ends up in the average.
I don't know. Bob can tell you more about this. But, you know, it's in rodeo and those type of events or in all the events other than maybe the barrel race. And it's the luck of the draw. Luck of the draw in the barrel race is where you draw up to run on the ground. But in all the other events, you're looking at whether you drew a really good bareback horse or one that's, you know, you're going to maybe make a little money on and in place on, but it's not the real showy horse, or the same thing with a bull. And, of course, the team ropers and the ropers, they're looking at whether they've drawn a really good steer or calf, or they're going to have to see a little bit more to get out or what. But, you know, that's just part of rodeo, isn't it, Bob?
Well, it is, and even in the timed events, you have to be careful because you can draw the best calf or best steer in the steer wrestling or team roping, but you can overplay it, too. You have to slow your rhythm down a little bit. If you go out there full bore, sometimes you'll mess up a good calf or a good steer, and you just have to kind of fall into that slot. And it's amazing. Sometimes you'll see a guy make a rundown, and you think, well, he's going to be a long time, but he was a 7 in the tie-down roping or something. You think, whoa, how'd that happen? It's just because they slowed down. It's kind of like a golf swing. If you go trying to push it and do hard, you're going to mess up and cost you more.
Absolutely. And that's been a great race to watch. You know, obviously those two guys I've known for years, and I'm, you know, pretty close to them through the rough stock days and stuff. But it was interesting. And when we had Butch and, the group on, Butch Knowles, and John Grounie, when they were telling us, you know, when I asked them the question, tell us about the different pens each night, they try to make it not a drawing contest so that everybody's on the same each night or as close as they can make it. But it was interesting, you know, I got to stand behind the chutes with Steven at an event a few years ago, at a Pro Rough Stock event, and, you know, he was explaining things to me, and it was, you know, in detail. It was really fascinating to me. And he said, you know, and I forget the name of the horse that he drew, but he said, she's got to give me everything she has, and I got to give her everything I got. And if it comes together, it's a beautiful thing. And if it doesn't, like last night, it doesn't always go your way. But that's been amazing to watch, that race. And it's just, yeah, like last night, Steven's face said it all, I think, after.
Well, and, you know, all of these contestants, I mean, they, you know, from the rough stock to, you know, all of our timed event cattle, I mean, they study. They know who drew that steer the night before. They know what, you know, this calf was tied down in and everything. They know everything about it, just like, you know, the rough stock cowboys, they know what these horses do and these bulls do, what way they're going to turn back out of the chute, and, you know, what their normal pattern is. But, again, they're animal athletes, and they can vary off their pattern, too.
Well, and that's just it. We're rounding. This is last night, and it's been a long 9 days. I mean, we're tired. I can't even imagine how the cowboys feel right now and everybody else putting that production on. And you could see last night the wear and those that are getting tired, and the days are starting to take its toll. So tonight is that perseverance, because it's it. We crown our champions tonight, and I'm sure that it's a mental game at this point.
Yeah, the great thing, this is where the animals really have the advantage, because they're not the ones getting bucked off or stepped on or whatever. You know, they're going out there for their 8 seconds or ever how quick whatever event it is that these animals are being competed on. And then they go out the back, and then they get fed and watered, and, you know, they kind of kick back and relax until the next night. And the cowboys, they're out making appearances. They're going to the Justin Sports Medicine people and getting, you know, worked on or taped or whatever they need to do to be able to compete again. So it's I think it's advantage animals and disadvantage cowboys and cowgirls.
Well, and I think you're right, and I think I'm going to look to my dad on this one. Isn't it the Eliminator pen tonight? I think it's the...
I believe it is. It used to be, I think. Right, the TV pen.
I was going to say, as Butch said, the TV pen, yeah. But I believe it is tonight, I think.
Well, and what I think is great about having you two on today is, and many of you may not know, Devin and Bob, you are team roping extraordinaires in your own right. And what I love about Deb, this is the one thing I think is so fabulous, is we had Pam Minnick on here last Saturday. And these two not only are former Miss Rodeo Americas, but they are team roping partners. So, I mean, they're the beauties on the saddle out there roping and
a little shorter.
I have one finger a little short. I'm going to blame all this on Pam Minnick. I sure am, because she moved to Texas, and she said, okay, I'm here. I said, okay, well, that's great, Pam. I'm, you know, that's wonderful. And she goes, well, you need to learn to team rope. She said, because I rope and I need a partner, and this is how we're going to do this. And I go, I'm like 35 years old. I said, I think I'm a little old to learn to team rope. She goes, no. She said, you're never too old.
That sounds like Pam.
one finger a little shorter later, here I am a little older than 35.
But
still
you still
roping,
have them.
and Pam is still roping with me. So that says a lot with her patience and perseverance. And I've been to over 13 women's national finals titles, you know, in there, and being able to go and compete and enjoyed every minute of it. And the numbering system that was came up with for all of us amateur ropers has made it just an incredible experience. You know, we all still love to go and watch the toughs at Bob Feist roping in Reno compete and one day aspire and think that, you know, we could maybe be half that good. But it's been a wonderful experience.
Well, and you said you were going to start roping more this coming spring. So we'll keep that in mind, because,
yes,
you know, we
roping
may see
is,
you in Reno.
It's not the way I make my living, so I have to make a living first and then rodeo when I have time.
Right.
Do you, I'm just curious, do you and Pam ever get razzed before you get there with all the other teams that are there? Or are they kind of just like, whoa, girls are on the scene, watch, women are here, watch out, because they are going to kick our butts?
Well, see, you've got to understand, Pam and I, we talk nonstop when we're around, because we're catching up. Well, when I was learning to rope, we did the same thing in the rope and pin. It's like we're rope backing in the box, and she goes, okay, you know, she said, I think I'm ready. And I said, I'll look over. I said, okay, and I'm about backing up. I said, I'll look over there. She goes, yeah, I'm ready. And so then we're running down the pin, and if the steer starts to set or, you know, I have a little more slack, and I go, just a minute, let me get him set a little better, and I'm taking him out there. And she goes, okay, I'm coming in. And now my neck is so bad, I really can't look over my shoulder very good. So she tells, okay, face. So we have this whole thing worked out now.
That's why it's called team roping. That's right. Yeah, good. Another thing she doesn't credit her neck to, but she's visited us with the Cowboy Downhill. It's going to be January 20th this year, or 18th, January 18th in Steamboat Springs. The BFI is June 20th. I always get the two dates mixed up. June 20th in Reno is the BFI, but the Cowboy Downhill, we invite a lot of those top contestants from Denver, and it's
right.
Just a kick up there. And
Cowboy Downhill is iconic. Tell our audience what it consists of, because, I mean, talk about a great time, a fun time, but you better be on your game, too.
Well, I've been there for over 40 years, and it's a fun thing. We first went up there, it was just a handful of us, went with Mayhan and Billy Kidd and Harley May, and a few of us went up there, and... We come out through a gate, go down and go through three gates and over a 5-foot jump, three more gates, and then you have to rope a hostess, a girl standing in a circle there, and then saddle a horse, ski across the line, or snowboard, whatever you want to do now. And it's a kick. It's fun. John Shipley and I get to announce, and Barb Shipley, his wife, who used to be Barb Johnson at the time, she was our hostess that would meet us at the airport, and Frontier Airlines in the old days flew us up there for nothing, and we used to go there and have quite a party, but it's still a great time. It's one of their largest attended races that they have all year at Steamboat.
Now, I want to know a story, or at least one that you can tell from the downhill, because I've heard stories from some of the rough stock guys through the years, but tell a story.
I've seen some hellacious pictures.
Yes, I've seen some interesting photos, so tell us the funniest thing you've seen.
Well,
or one of them.
I think that the biggest thing there is guys come up there and say, hey, I don't know how to ski. Well, what difference does it make? It says, you know, the best story I got, there was one of the bull riders came in last year, and they were trying to get him some skis, and another guy was getting a snowboard. He says, why don't you just give me two of those? That looks a lot easier. some of the worst wreck. The worst wreck I remember, Scotty Platt. Remember Scotty? I mean, that
Scotty
goes way
Platt.
Back. Scotty Platt got through the downhill, wrecked over the jump, got the wildest wreck and everything else. Didn't get hurt till we went back to the airport, and he slipped in the airport and fell and hit his nose on a chair and broke his nose. And he'd tell everybody we get back to Denver, oh, yeah, cowboy downhill. But I think there was a little liquid encouragement on that one, too.
Sounds like maybe so. I don't know. Yeah, it probably was.
But you've got to understand, when they do, they have the downhill is like they're all up there at the top of the hill. There's the good skiers.
That's a stampede.
That's a stampede. And they're all up there, and it's drop the flag, everybody's off. And you've got the good skiers, the one who'd rented their skis for the first time and all that. And it is, I've seen them come down and finish the course sliding down, going the opposite way with their body, and finish the course that way just because they got pushed along by all the other guys coming behind them.
Well, and then for a couple of years, a lot of them were coming down on the stampede. That's where she was saying sometimes there'll be 100 coming down there. They didn't want to go over the jump, so they'd go around it. Well, the last 2 years, they have funneled them all. They have to go over the jump. So that is kind of looks like the old Buffalo Ram when they herd them off the cliff. That's what it looks
Push
like.
Well, you know, cowboys are always up for anything like that, whether it's skiing or, you know, and golf can be a little bit dangerous too, Bob.
Yeah, for me.
We had to bring that in. Bob's an avid golfer and a good golfer.
No, I don't know about good, but it's been a great week here in Vegas. I know that. So had to miss a couple functions because of golf tournaments. So.
Well, and there's so much going on. I mean, I'm sure you guys have seen it change over the years and the add-ons and the different events and the different venues. Yeah, how do you pick and choose? Is it just based upon where your sponsors want you, or is it based upon, I mean, there's great, I mean, Bob Tallman does his bowling event. There's the gala that happens right after the convention. I mean, there's just so many things that they do here in Vegas to keep us all engaged for this long haul.
Well, you know, we were talking about that yesterday at the reunion party that they had that Larry Jordan had put together for anybody who was, you know, who all from everybody from the gold card members to NFR from way back. And they were all talking about how at Oklahoma City, you know, you were kind of captive in this one area and everybody could visit. And here it's just there is so much. So even people who do not have rodeo tickets can come and feel like they're really a part of the experience because there are so many shopping experiences and arenas off-site with different things going on. You know, I've been going to South Point and watching the team roping because I have a lot of friends up here competing in that.
Absolutely, and great team roping out there at the South Point. I think that what happens here in Vegas has really engaged a whole lot of new rodeo fans and brought them, you know, into the rodeo world as to what cowboys and cowgirls do because they come to Vegas for a number of different reasons, and all of a sudden, wow, it's WNFR week.
Such an example. I was at the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation. I have their show up there downtown, and we went there the other day, and I met a gentleman that I've known for 20 years, and he's always dressed Western, wore a cowboy hat, and goes on the Ranchero Vistadores with us and everything. And he come up, and he says, boy, I went to that rodeo last night. I said, yeah, what'd you think? He says, that was great. He says, I need to know a little bit more about how do they get when they say somebody's 80? What does that mean? This guy, I always assumed he was a rodeo fan. I knew it. He said, I've never really been to a real rodeo. I've been around horses all my life. But he said, I'm sold, man. I'm getting some season tickets next year. But so I explained the judging to him and how everything went and didn't know what a barrier was. But Barrier's story, I got to tell this. I won't say which one it was, but it wasn't our current commissioner. But one time we had a commissioner in a PRCA that was on the ground floor at Reno Rodeo during the steer wrestling. And he had just been assigned as commissioner, and so he's down there wandering around, and Tallman was announcing from up top, and I was announcing horseback in the arena, and he's standing alongside me. Steer wrestler goes out and makes a 3/8-second run, and then they said, well, he broke the barrier. That had to be a 13/8. Commissioner looks up at me, and he says, what broke? I said, he broke the barrier 10 seconds. He
no.
says, well, when I get back to the office, we'll be getting that fixed.
Oh, my God.
Good. You're the man we need.
Oh, my
wow.
gosh.
Again, so much has changed. Well, and you know, Bob, you have spent a better part of your career building out your invitational, your Team Rope and Invitational. Share with our listeners about and our audience about the Bob Fice Invitational.
Well, when I was competing, wasn't winning all that much to start with, and so in the late 60s, I started Roper Sports News, and it was a little publication, a newsletter that covered ropings. Still going on today after 40-some years, and we're about to reach our 50-year mark here in a couple of years, so going to be interesting. And then 10 years after that, down the line, actually 9 years, it was in 1977 that I got the idea that a lot of people like to watch the best team ropers rope all the time. When the name ropers would go out and rope, we'd say, hey, we'd go to the fence and watch them, and if we were at a jackpot. Then here come just some local ropers. Nobody would pay attention to them. I thought maybe we could get the best ropers together in an arena and have a rope and actually charge admission and let them come watch the real tough ropers rope. So I started in Chowchilla in 1977. I did it on a Monday. Everybody always says, how come that thing's on a Monday? The reason I put it on a Monday, I did not want the PRCA or anybody else to think that I was taking away. And at that time, team roping was not a sanctioned event. It was only in a few rodeos around and 7 states at that time. And it was not mandatory. A rodeo did not have to have team roping. Excuse me. But then we got into the having this, and I had 40 teams I invited. It finally grew to 50, 60, and now we invite 100 teams, and it's the top teams in the world, $750,000 in one day. But it's all a one-day deal. But I wanted to prove that the guys could show good horsemanship and rope. So the first ropings were over a 35-foot score. So you had to really use your head. You could know how to rope, but you had to know how to ride a horse and get them in position and do it, kind of like roping at a pasture. And now today, because of the venue that we use there in Reno, aren't able to score them quite that far. And the roping sold 2 years ago, and Ullman and Peterson events are the ones that have the roping now. And they're doing great things with it. They have BFI qualifiers, and they're even going to have one in Mexico City this year. So
really?
Quite a
Mexico
deal.
City?
The Hispanic people very interested in team roping today, and so it's going to be good. I imagine they'll have one on the Navajo Nation, too, because those three boys are capturing the field here.
Absolutely. I mean, Window Rock, you bet. Yeah, everyone is cheering, of course, for the good Navajo Cowboys, team ropers, and they've had a lot of support here. You know,
phenomenal.
Absolutely.
That's the only place. Jim Shoulders and I went one time to the Navajo Nation. We were at a powwow out there. And I'll have to say that I signed more autographs than Jim because they said, that's BFI. And they all wanted a BFI autograph, and they didn't care about Jim Shoulders. They wanted a team rope.
They learned a team rope. Having lived 18 years in the Four Corners area and been blessed to have so many great Navajo silversmiths when the business was up there, you know, you learn their families. What a wonderful, wonderful people. I love
They're
the
great.
Navajo people.
I've always used the story down there. I've told this to the tribal people, too, that you know, they don't buy their kids toys. They give them a rope and a dummy. That's it. That's their daycare center. That's it.
Exactly.
That's not such a bad daycare center. Compared to some of the stuff that our kids are watching and doing today.
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds like a good plan.
Well, and, you know, talking about that, Becky, you know, that brings up again why we are all here. And that's because we embrace and love the Western way of life.
Yeah,
and, you know, talking about, you know, so many different generations today, they're removed from it. So it's wonderful that we can spend this 10 days together in Vegas and have these young children walking by down the aisle. They get a little bit of taste of what it is to be a cowboy.
Well, that's what
this whole experience, something for everybody in the family. And that's what rodeo is about, because it starts from the little britches and goes on up. So there's really no end to it. And so we're never going to run out of people with this, because it just keeps cultivating its own self and growing with the families. And, you know, and plus highlighting like Trevor and his children and the competitors on TV, and they're kind of bringing them into it and showing. And then they have the little dummy ropings. And, Bob, you know how that is. I mean, it's just incredible.
Oh, it's phenomenal. But Western Heritage is America's, North America, and that's where it was in, the cowboy. You don't hear about the cowboy anywhere else. The conquistadores or the Spaniards and riding horses, but other than that, the cowboy way of life is one of our traditions. It's homespun, homegrown.
Well, and we like to talk to Kevin, because Kevin is one of the ones that have found a passion and love for rodeo through not necessarily growing up in that, and that's just another testament of reaching out across the you know, divides of culture.
Absolutely, yeah. That's I didn't grow up, you know, on a farm or ranching or doing anything like that. I grew up in outside of Detroit, Michigan, so it doesn't get any more, you know, industrial than that. But you know, my experience in managing venues and producing shows and stuff like that for 15 years before I jumped out and took that Pro Rough Stock series up and down the road. That's why it was fascinating for me to come today, because I was like, here's a guy that's got a real event. You know, he's been doing it. It's longevity. It's great. And I'm an event guy, but. But yeah, the Western way of life has been fascinating. I've been very blessed to be involved in every form of major league sports and business. You know, we talk all the time the business of sports, the business of rodeo. And you mentioned it. What sets rodeo apart from all the other, what I call the big four, you know, the NHL, NFL, you can go on down the line, is that there is an organization for every age group. And not the big four, NHL, NBA, Major League Baseball, NFL, they don't necessarily have that. Some do, some don't. They have varying degrees of it. But you start at National Little Britches, you know, to junior high, to high school, to college.
I say it starts at mutton busting when they're like,
well,
two.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
And a good point of that, I think. Where else could you go, say, at an NBA tournament or something? Would you have four venues catering to trade shows like this, selling
no.
product?
I've been to all of them, and they don't. They may have one, and really big one, but
how
that's
many tennis
it.
Shoes and T-shirts and flat caps can you sell? Yeah.
Well,
only so many.
Well, and to speak to that, we were coming back from the Reba concert the other night, and even our taxi cab driver made the comment that Vegas dies when we leave. And so that's a testament to how much, you know, not just revenue, but the attention that we bring to this city in the Western world. It's the largest revenue that they bring into Vegas that's non-gaming, I think, in each year.
Yeah, I mean, I live in Texas, and we can go somewhere every the night of the week to compete, whether you're a barrel racer, a team roper, a calf roper, or going somewhere to a little buck off that they've got somewhere. But when the NFR starts, I mean, the state empties. I mean, it's not like, you know, it's like we can go in our own backyard, but to come to something like this, everybody leaves Texas and comes to Vegas. And so I think that's a real testament in itself, that when you've got something in your own backyard you can go do every night of the week, but you're going to get on a plane and go to Vegas and watch rodeo again.
Absolutely, and what Debbie said about Texas, that's so true. I've only called Texas home for the last 8 years. Although I consider it my home, you know, coming from the Northwest. But yeah, there's always something going on in Texas. But look at the Grand Entry, you know. There comes
mm-hmm.
Texas, you know. And what's really, I always enjoy that, too, because when you see those cowboys and cowgirls carrying their state colors, you also see a wide impact throughout a lot of different states that, you know, these competitors come from everywhere.
I was thrilled because I'm half French. My real father's French. So it's kind of cool. I can stand up and cheer for the French flag now with Evan Jane, you know, in the bareback riding, and then stand up again for Texas. So I'm kind of double dipping in this deal.
Well, I'm embarrassed because California used to be the bulk. They were more Californians than there was Texans in that arena, but that's because they dominated the team roping years ago. And now all of them have moved to Texas. Because there's more team roping. I went took the BFI to Smith Brothers Arena in 1982. Way premature. Believe this or not, in Denton, Texas, team roping wasn't popular yet. Nobody team roped down there. They all tie down roped or steer roped. So we were just a little premature, plus 3 inches of rain the night before kind of messed us up too. But we didn't go back to Texas because of that, and then we came back out west to Reno and been in Reno ever since. But team roping in Texas is just, I mean, that's little league football now, and Pop Warner is just everything. It's just, yeah.
Well, I can tell you right now, the two things I do miss seeing, and I didn't realize it until I don't know, I guess this year just kind of dawned on me and hit me, how much I love that grand entry and how much I miss the serpentine grand entries at Rodeo State. I know the Cowboys are busy. I know they're flying from here, jetting out as soon as they get done. But there's something about what an audience sees when they see all those Cowboys and Cowgirls running in that arena before the rodeo starts. It connects them and engages them.
There was one year we've done the similar grand entry at the BFI, and you have to bring in now 200 people. But we shotgun them in and out of there, and it's a 6-7.5 minute deal. And we bring them all in, and so a couple of years ago they decided they're going to eliminate that, the time frame. We wanted to speed the day up. They took it away. That was our biggest complaint. I mean, we got emails and Facebook and Twitter, and what happened to that grand entry? And the contestants got something about it. When they're in that arena, they said that's what it's all about. Well, you are finally there.
Well, and they're not all going to walk away with a paycheck. But they get that 5 minutes of pride, and
yes,
they're in there.
Yeah,
they're in there,
yeah.
And it's, I'm really here.
I am here. This is it. It's real.
This is what I worked all year for. When I won Miss Rodeo America, when it was in Oklahoma City, the first night that I got to come in and make my lap, of course, the contestants are all in, and at that time it was Mildred Ferris, who, God bless her soul, I just loved her. She was carrying the American flag, and she was in front of me, and so I said, okay, so Mildred, I come in and I make the lap, and I line up behind you. She said, yes. And as soon as they do the bow, the deal, the resist all to the crowd, she said, I'm leaving and you better be right behind me. And I said, okay, yes, Miss Ferris, I'll do that. You know, I'm just going to follow. I was so excited. And I knew exactly what she meant when she took off out of that arena and I took off, and it sounded like a stampede coming in behind me with all the contestants, because everybody's running out of there trying to get out, get off their horses, and then get ready for their event. And it was, I've never had felt so scared in my life, you know. And then after the first night, then you just get really into the moment.
That's the spark, though.
Yeah.
We were just in an event, and I don't mean to be tooting my own horn here, but in September, I was inducted into the National Cowboy Hall of Fame.
Absolutely,
well,
and what an honor. We were going to talk about that.
But I think the most deal of that, I had emceed that event several occasions, and I'd always been on stage, been behind, emceed it. The people came up, got their award, but to walk up from that side of the stage up, it got me. It really did. I mean, that was a little stage fright there.
Oh, wow,
was,
Bob.
Yeah.
It was
so,
an honor to be able to
be
there and,
you, yeah,
and watch you accept that award, and so well-deserved.
Yeah.
And
well, and they had teased me. They said, you won't guess who's going to give you your award. And I figured it was Sharon Shoulders or Donna McFadden, because I'd been very close to both their husbands and their families, and they're on that board. And I figured, well, that's who it's going to be. But when I walked up and they said, and here to present the medallion tonight is Cotton Rosser, and that really
cheered
me up. Oh, wow,
yes.
There,
what an icon. Mr. Yeah. Cotton Rosser. Lots of great, great history in Oklahoma City as well as Colorado Springs at the Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame. But there is something very, very special when your name is called and you go up there, you know?
Well, and when so many years I emceed it, I think I'm very blessed and thank the good Lord above to be able to be there in person, because there's so many that they do post honor, and you see those families come up accepting for their mom and their dad, and they're very moved by it. But it's very nice to be alive and feel the gold.
No, and that's what I told Bob. I said, man, we were all very excited for Bob, because he's actually overqualified for that honor with all that he's done, and still stays very active in promoting. And I mean, there's a lot of people who get in and get out real quick, and then they get on with their families and they have other lives that go on. Mm-hmm. But you know, the ones that get in there and they have really found their niche in life and know exactly what they love to do, like Bob, and has made a living out of it and has become very famous for that. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
And still doing it, Debbie, still promoting it. And Debbie, that leads me back to you and Pam. That's something that you girls, you ladies do every single day of your life, is you absolutely live for our Western heritage and to promote the sport of rodeo. Tell us a little bit about how the Miss Rodeo America competition has changed over the years.
Well, it's become a much bigger event, and the girls. Now, when I competed, the people who were running at that time really got out and promoted. We had 50 states that competed. They sent a girl from all 50. And at that time, we had two girls from Canada that would come and compete also. So we would end up with 50 to 52 girls. And I was probably the most shocked person when I won because I was probably the least qualified in my mind. I was an Army brat. I learned to ride, renting the horses at the Army stable. I have been so blessed because God has just put me in these spots where I normally, a person in the Army brat, wouldn't end up being, but it just kept filtering along, and I rode hunters and jumpers first and went on through the deal. And I have to correct you, when you introduced me as Miss Rodeo Texas, I was first runner-up to Miss Rodeo Texas.
Oh, you were? Okay.
I was, and was real happy with that. And then the next year, they changed the dates of the pageant, and it ended up to where the girl who would have won it that year, she wouldn't have had but just a short time to be Miss Rodeo Texas if she won Miss Rodeo America. So they said, we don't want to do that. We want to have the pageant earlier in the year. So the girl who wins Miss Rodeo Texas would have a whole year to travel
mm-hmm.
and get ready to compete for Miss Rodeo America. Then if she won a Miss Rodeo America,
mm-hmm.
she'd have another year to be able to travel and do that and not take away from one or the other. So then they decided, we need to figure out what we're going to do because we're not going to have someone to send. So they went back, okay, who was first runner-up? Well, it was me, and at that time I was working for Ryan Saddle and Ranch Supplies as their buyer in Fort Worth, and I was traveling a lot, and I said, no, I just can't do it, you know, and I was right at the wire on the age thing, too. I was just almost too old to try to do it.
And
so they went to the next girl, and she had gotten married, and the next girl was not qualified to be able to go or something. So then about 2 weeks later, they call me back, and by this time, then I've only got 45 days to get ready to go to Miss Rodeo America. And I thought, you know, there's some reason why this has come back around, and I asked
right.
for time off, a little vacation time. I
mm-hmm.
lived in Fort Worth. All I had to do was drive to Oklahoma City, compete for that 4 or 5 days, turn around and come back and go back to work. I thought, you know, I'm going to get a 4 or 5 day vacation and get to see my very first national finals rodeo.
Mm.
Yes,
see,
I was
well,
so excited.
Right where you were supposed
no
to
coincidence.
Be.
I had
no
friends
coincidence.
That lent me clothes. I borrowed hats and clothes and everything and went. And I won the horsemanship, which was so coveted.
Well, I did also, and that was one award that dearly touched
say,
my
I
heart.
I thought that you'd won
yeah.
the
way
co-
back when.
Yeah.
In fact, it was here in Vegas that I first met Pamela Martin, Pam Minnick.
Yes.
Yeah, I was Miss Rodeo Oregon the year Pam was Miss Rodeo Nevada.
Right.
And I'm just really cherished our friendship over the years because she's one super lady and continues to do everything to help promote our way of life.
Right. Well, and that's what leads into I had already finished college. I had some scholarship money from winning it that I wasn't able to use. So now the girls, every girl that goes and competes gets scholarship money. They have built it up so much, and they had, I think, 30-something girls compete this year.
Yep.
And now every girl will go, and she will get scholarship money. The prizes and things that they give are phenomenal. Other, you know, with the sponsorships, the all the clothing and the hats and the appearances you make and the connections you make, it's truly an incredible experience. And if someone wants to take it and go from there, which most of the girls do, because they have an attraction to the Western way of life, and when they get involved in that, they make those connections, and they can kind of figure out which direction they want to go.
Well, I just want I know that our new Miss Rodeo America, she's from home state Washington, and she's from Spokane, my hometown, and from my rodeo, and I call my rodeo because I was there for so many years, but I got a chance to interview her in a mock interview when I was judging Miss Moses Lake. And it's fascinating. I was listening to your story about how you ended up being there off on a fluke, so to speak. Never a coincidence. And I was telling Aunt Vicki yesterday when we ran into her after leaving the event, she has an amazing story. She was on that cusp of, do I want to compete for Miss Rodeo Washington? Do I not want to compete? Do I want to go on with my college? Because she'd went to Notre Dame. She was finishing up law school. She wants to be an attorney for water rights. And she had something going on with her jaw, and she was debating on the only way of getting it fixed was her dentist would have to break her jaw, and her jaw would have to be sewn shut. And she decided, well, do I want to do it that now, or do I want to just not worry about it, finish things, and go on with my career and blah, blah, blah. So she went ahead and made the choice to have that her jaw broken, and her mouth was wired shut for probably, I think she said, about 6 weeks. I'm not quite sure. And she said it was in that 6 weeks of downtime and not talking and not having a way to communicate that she decided it's her one chance. Why doesn't she do it? Why don't she go ahead? And she ended up winning Miss Rodeo Washington, and then she went around, and I was so ecstatic when she won Miss Rodeo America because she's going to be a fabulous, fabulous representation.
Now, I've just got a question, and this will go back. You said when you were competing, there was a representative from every state.
Yes.
Now, this maybe my ignorance is going to show here, but now how come there's not 50 today? How come? Because I noticed there's some states that aren't represented. Is there any reason for that?
I think a little part of it is because there's not really a lot of rodeos in a lot of states. So at that time, a long time ago, they were going to the AQHA, and so the girls who were involved a lot in AQHA in certain states, they would have almost just a representative sense. So it was not like they had an actual Miss Rodeo Ohio contest or a Miss Rodeo Connecticut or something like that. So, but they did a really good job of recruiting and getting it out there to try to get those girls sent in. And maybe they came in and realized that they were in a little bit over their head with not maybe knowing the rodeo knowledge, which is during the interview part, you're grilled. You've got to be able to answer the questions about the buck and stock and the clowns or the announcers and how everything flows and blah, blah, blah. So they felt a little inferior on that, and I think they've kind of fine-tuned the contest a little bit now to where it is the states that feel like they, when they send a representative, each of those states that has someone coming feels like they can win it, that they've got a girl that sure enough can get out there and do the job.
I think some of those states, to answer your question, they do have a Miss Rodeo Connecticut or so, but they don't come here anymore, and it's because they evaluate the caliber and they know the competition and what they have to go up against. And it's a huge expense. And they don't want to embarrass the girl to come here and get in the first cut. And it's tough. The other day I went out and watched the horsemanship. They draw for these horses. It's not like they can bring their horse. Man, they got on some renegades out there the other day. If they could have reached down with two hands, like all of them really want, or some of them the cowgirls want to do, and correct that horse, I'd have to give them points. But they have to keep this little mold and make sure that their hair is proper, and they're doing this, and one hand out front, you know, and pose, and make sure that your back is arched. So, anyway.
Hold it,
these
I want a picture of
girls.
That, Bob.
Bob's looking kind of like a queen
contestant.
I felt
so sorry for that girl. I mean, there was a couple of you knew they were raised on ranches. They wanted to get a hold of that sucker.
Yeah.
And I would have said, yeah, now she's a horsewoman, you know, but the poor things in these horses just balked. One balked up and started running backwards, and she's got a... and can't use her feet too much, so they get discredited. Can't wear spurs, right?
I don't think you're supposed to, yeah. I don't like wearing spurs anyway. It gets me in a lot of trouble.
But
well, if you ask
Andy, I would have to change that horsemanship program. And tell
I'm going to tell you, Bob, you've got that queen wave down, I'm telling you.
Oh, I absolutely.
You know, get the Vaseline on the lips and stuff and
you're
get
good
that
to go.
Wave. Get that
you're
wave
good to go.
Going.
Well, I know we're about out of time, but both of you have done so much for the Western world. Debbie, you were inducted into the Texas Cowboy Hall of Fame in 2000. You were most notable woman of Texas. You both have so much history and so much depth. What is it that drives you to continue to do what you do, even when you're not necessarily getting a paycheck for it or anything like that, but you just keep doing it?
I mean, I don't know. For me, it's because I love what I do, and I love the people that I'm associated with. I'm just so blessed. I'm really happy with my life and the animals and the wonderful team rope and horses that God's blessed me with and the friends that I've made through the rodeo and the roping and everything. I just couldn't imagine doing anything else. And it's hard to explain to someone else unless they come and find something in their life like that. I just think it's just so rewarding.
Well, I think that's probably the truth of the fact. I was raised in Northern California, went to school at Oklahoma State, and I think that was the best education ever, is to meet people from another state and another environment and meet real people. They're just so solid. And I think in Texas especially, if you want to live the cowboy way, you can live it there. There's some areas that I'm associated with in Northern California. If you go out dressed improperly, they'll say, you know, where'd you park your Peterbilt or your Freightliner? They do not know a cowboy dressed in $10,000 worth of clothes versus one dressed in $150 worth of clothes. And that's kind of sad, but there is different environments that you go to. A few years back, I decided to diversify my life a little bit. Got into racing jet boats and fishing a lot, and I've always flown airplanes. I don't totally do the cowboy way every day, and I enjoy wearing shorts. I've got 5 power boats. I'm not just set in the cowboy fashion, but everybody knows me as Cowboy Bob. But it's and I try and instill upon people, but I would like to be able to just go to the bank every day with a hat on and that, but some places I go, you're a little out of place, and not that anything to deter against the Western way of life, but you run into it in your business, I'm sure. And there's sometimes you wear the hat and sometimes you don't wear the hat. And
but the spirit never changes. But
it's a matter of heart.
He said it. It's kind of, and you guys have seen me go through this. That's exactly what I do. Exactly. Minus the jet boats.
She said the other day, she has a lake home down in Texas. You want to tell the story? Go on, dear. She thought some solicitor was coming to her dock.
I'm out there on my dock kind of working on my boat and wave runners, and I still like to get out and ski. And I'm out there by myself, and I think, okay, I'm out here. Nobody can see me. I'm in my swimsuit. I'm a little picky about who sees me in my swimsuit these days. So I'm out there doing some stuff, and all of a sudden I kind of see this kind of creepy guy kind of coming up on a pontoon boat, and I can't see real good that far off, but he's slowing down, and he's kind of sliding in close to my... I thought, oh, my gosh, I'm out here. Where's my towel? I can't find anything. All of a sudden I hear this voice that I were going to, hey, cowgirl, and it's Bob Tallman. Oh, my God.
We're trying to make Tallman realize there's something besides having a microphone in his hand and a telephone in the other hand. That's Bob Tallman's exercise, by the way.
Yeah.
Microphone, phone.
Yeah.
Microphone, phone. Coffee, phone.
Yeah.
Coffee, phone. That's exercise for Bob.
Yeah. And so he pulls up, and we're laughing. And I go, I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, who is this coming in? Well, then we're laughing at each other and thinking we've both become river rats. But that's a great thing. You know, like Bob said, you know, he flies planes, he fishes, you know, we're diversified, but our love is rodeo.
Right. A heart for rodeo.
Well, I wish that we had more time to visit, but I know time is short. It's the last day of the PERF, last day of all the events, and we are out of time, but I just want to say thank you so much for joining us. Bummer, I know, and we had Bob on. You can find his interview in our archives on shesgonecountry.us. We did him. We got to visit with him for an hour back some time ago, and we've got that in the archive. So be sure you check that out, because there's a lot you can learn about someone when you dig a little deep, and great history, great contributions, and we appreciate you and we thank you.
Well, we thank y'all. You know, this is very special. Y'all are still finding a way to promote rodeo and bring this out and keep it in front of the public, too. And for that, we thank y'all very much for having this show.
Thank you, Debbie. Thank you, Bob.
We thank you. And Debbie says there that it's so much. Sometimes we get involved with hostesses that they study communication, but they don't know our way of life, or they don't know quite what they're doing. But anyway, we didn't bring our lassos today.
So we got to stay.
Yeah. And we didn't ride the bucking bronco, so we did good. Yeah.
Well, you guys are icons, we just respect and admire and love you guys very much. So thank you. Give these two a round of applause
cool.
for all
thank
they've
you.
Done for the rodeo community. Enjoy your day. And, you know, be sure to catch us on shesgonecountry.us for our times and our replays of the show if you missed any of them. We've had great, great audience. And hopefully we'll see you again back here next year. And we're going to stay sitting where you're at. We have a couple of giveaways to give you, so sit tight. We've got a couple hats from Nod Apparel. And enjoy the rest of your day. God bless.
Thank you so much. We hope to see you next year.
I cook the lines, and one time we owned this longhorn bull that we called Gus.
Gus was a trip, and I'm telling you, he was not normal. He loved to get responses out of people, but especially horses. He loved freaking out our horses. Well, one day a friend and I saddled up some colts for a ride, and we had to take them across his pasture where Gus was. Yep. Well, here comes Gus, bouncing and bawling and slinging his 4-foot-plus horn span. Our colt started going off in every direction. This went on for a few minutes. Gus would chase one and then the other round and round until he pooped out, I guess. There was no controlling our horses, and we must have looked like a couple of monkeys on sheepdogs out there laughing so hard we could barely ride. And you know that kind of honking sound down in your throat when you laugh really deep? My friend called it throat farts. Well, we eventually got everything recollected and had a nice, enjoyable ride once we made it through the Gus gauntlet. But you know what? That detour ended up being more fun than the ride itself. Life is full of detours, distractions, and inconveniences. And if we get caught up in where we think we ought to go, we'll never enjoy the journey. God never intended life to be all business. Matter of fact, it's in His Word that laughter works like medicine. Most folks could use a good dose of it. Well, when we got back from our ride, Gus was standing at the gate looking and bawling, waiting for the games to begin again. Gus knows how to enjoy life. I could learn from him. This is Crystal Lyons and Cowgirl Logic. For more, go to cowgirllogic.com.
She's Gone Country with Becky is proud to have as our charity team Western Wishes, making the dreams of seriously ill children and young adults who love the Western way of life to come true. Western Wishes, leaving the legacy of goodwill the cowboy way. Find out more at westernwishes.org.
Grace Rio Silver was founded in 1997. Our goal today remains the same as it was back then, to provide you, our customer, with a quality buckle. Call today and visit with one of our family design experts about your next trophy buckle. From 1 to 100, each is individually made by hand, one at a time. Remember, at Trace Rios, our only limit is your imagination. Trace Rios Silver, Llano, Texas. 800-550-7535. Or you can find us on the web at TraceRioSilver.com. Proud to be a part of She's Gone Country with Becky.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Discover the mysteries of cosmetic dentistry. For all the insider tips and wellness solutions, tune in to Get Your Smile On with Dr. Joel Gould, Wednesdays at 7 p.m.
ForRadio.com.